prepare yourselves for the brain-stretching conclusion to this Bible-centric message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
And then I'm going to jump down to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, 3 through 8. Paul is writing, and listen to what he says. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. And as Paul writes this, he said, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born." So here's Paul writing about the account of the accounts of Jesus appearing before all the disciples, as well as 500 at the same day. And at that particular time, now he's writing an email. He's writing an email to everyone saying, "Hey, yeah, Jesus appeared to folks. You can go ask him yourself because they're down the street. You don't believe me? Go ask them. Jesus appeared to them too. Go ask them." That's the equivalent of the message Paul's trying to say at this particular time. So we've got this incredible evidence that Jesus is God, from his miracles, forgiving sins, dying on the cross, coming back to life, and by the way, he said it. And so now I just want to leave you with a few thoughts for the big idea that you can trust this account. Matter of fact, I'm going to add one more right now. Ad hoc. Here it is. One of the best evidences when I struggle or doubt, I think, boy, you know, Jesus, is this real? Could this possibly be all cool and true? When I doubt the Scripture, you know where I get a lot of my confidence from? Is the world's reaction to it. If I was to go around and say Muhammad, Allah, or Buddha, or any of the Indian religions or whatever, nobody gets upset over it. I could talk about that all day, and they could eat cake and listen to me. When I start talking about Jesus, all of a sudden I'm offensive, politically incorrect, an improper time to say it, an improper place to say it. It's never the right time or the right place to talk about Jesus unless I'm blaspheming him. Then it's okay. You can swear his name all day long. That's okay. But just don't talk it in the context of this. Then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, and everybody starts to squirm. That's where I get my other confidence from, the way the world reacts to the gospel. So whenever I doubt the gospel, and I just put that out there, oh yeah, everybody hates it. It's got to be true. Anyway, and it's more than that. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil freaks out over this story. He hates this story. And humans apart from Christ, humans hate God. Humans hate God, and God hates humans. That's a tough one. I'll unpack it another day. Come back next week, and I'll explain in more detail. But until they come under the grace of Christ, God's wrath is on them, and that's a fact. And God's hatred for sin and that vessel of wrath will be blasted, and that's a fact. They got to come to Christ. So, here's some more verses. Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4, says this. Paul is doing an account, doing a good job. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, who were the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know that the certainty of these things you have been taught." That's the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. That's a pretty good way to start something. And Luke was an analytical dude. And he really would check it out before he'd write it down. And he said he did. And by the way, Luke is the part one. Acts is part two of Luke's story. So he wrote quite a bit. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 through 19. I love what he says. He says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And finally, John, who wrote the Gospel of John, but he also wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he's known as the Apostle of Love. He writes this in 1st John chapter 1, 1 through 4, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." So there's a backup account of the historical accounts of who Jesus says, is, and what he did. We follow an awesome God. That's why we're called Christians. Christians. All right? Christians. That'd make an interesting t-shirt. That's who we follow. That's what it's all about. If it isn't Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, don't listen, because they got nothing to say. It's blasphemy. It's Jesus Christ from beginning to end. And when we celebrate communion, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. It's completely his work. Our work of heaven, of us going to heaven, is completely a work of Christ from beginning to end. That's what makes it so awesome. And we as Christians, we only have one response. And the key here, the key word is response. We got to be careful that we don't say, "Well, I got to work harder so that I can somehow earn this gift." No, this is a gift that we get. After you receive this gift, the response is adoration and love. So I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to go to communion. The five disciplines, which is kind of like if you were to wash down the scriptures to five major disciplines: evangelism, discipleship, ministry, worship, and fellowship. If these aren't swirling in your heart, if there isn't this insatiable desire to love Jesus, discipleship, to get into his word, to get to know this God who would die for you while you're still a sinner, that's what's crazy. Do you have an insatiable desire to, "I gotta know this guy"? And once you get to know him, do you want to love him better? Do you want to serve him in a ministry? Do you want to respond to him in a ministry and tell other people, "Hey, I know you're going to think I'm nuts, but Jesus is God. I am desperately in love with him. And even though I screw up every day, I'm going to serve him. And I just got to tell you, you can love him too. He is worth your love and adoration." And fellowship. And fellowship right here. I got to get together with other people who believe this. This is so encouraging. And to encourage others is great. And then to worship him. When I do my loudest, craziest worship in the car, because no one can hear me, and that's a blessing. But anyway, in the car is a great time to love and worship God. It's fantastic. But this is the whole story, folks. The response, the fruit of being born again in your heart, or being saved from hell, or whatever term you want to use, is a desperate push to love God and to serve him. But it's the result. It's not to get to heaven. It's the result of people who are going to heaven. That's the story in a nutshell. So let's pray and we'll celebrate communion. Father, thank you for the complete finished work of Jesus, who is God, God and Messiah. We ask that we would be encouraged, that the gospel would drive us forward to love and serve you better, more, all the time. We thank you for how you have interceded and forgiven us from who we are, evil sinners. But you forgave us and saved us while we were still lost in sin. Thank you, Jesus. Now may we respond in the worship of communion. And thank you, Father, that we can have communion with you and each other. What a sweet, sweet blessing. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
From Bibles, websites, to theology, apps, to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakinDeacon.com. Truth is here.